B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, we'll get back to your phones in a second. Just to reset how we started the show, we followed up a little bit on the Brady workout from yesterday and got to a topic that we didn't get to yesterday, and that was because a lot of fans like to go there. And that is, you know, we just watched The Last Dance here with the Bulls on ESPN and how, you know, in hindsight, we look back on the Bulls and say, what the hell were you thinking? What the hell were you thinking? You had the best player on the planet. You're in the middle of winning six championships. They all would have come back, as Michael Jordan said in one of those final scenes. They could have brought the whole band back for a run at seven. They were ready to go for seven. They would have come back to go for seven. And you just sort of willfully, intentionally dismantled the thing when the team still had something to give and runs to go on. And you look back 23 years later with the Bulls having done absolutely nothing in those 23 years and say, what the hell were you thinking? What were you doing? And that's how we all look back on the Bulls, like idiots. My God, how'd you let that thing fall apart? And I just wonder, and fans wonder, are the Patriots doing the exact same thing? In 23 years, are we going to look back and say the same thing about the Patriots of 2020 that we're saying about the Bulls of 1998, Mass?
So I feel like the Patriots did the right thing. I think that it was time to break this thing up. So my instinct is no, but if the Patriots suck from here on out and they never recover post-Brady, and heaven forbid if Brady goes down to Tampa and wins a Super Bowl, then absolutely it'll happen. There's no two ways about it. Of course, we always look upon the end of a dynasty and say, why did it crumble? What took it down? What got in the way at the end that wasn't there in the beginning that undermined it? And if this is the end, then absolutely. But again, a lot of it's going to depend on what happens with Stidham.
To me, it's a hindsight argument. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I just don't think you can really compare, because I think it was either Maz or a caller that brought it up, because Jordan still wanted to work with Phil Jackson, and the party still wanted to work with each other. It's just that ownership said, no, we're done here. We're done with this. We're moving on. In Brady and Belichick's case, they were done with each other. They were. And I don't think cooler heads were going to prevail here. Last year was the last straw, and now they're better off going their separate ways.
Well, they could have. I mean, they could have figured it out. That, you know, someone could have changed. Bill could have changed his ways to appease Brady. So, again, it's
but that
like,
was never going to happen.
I mean, so look, I mean, it's not a perfect comparison. It's a general comparison. Two of the great sports dynasties of our time are walking away from their best player or the core of their championship run while they still have a chance to win more championships. That's the general comparison. I think it holds between the Bulls and the Patriots. And let me tell you that if they don't transition this into something else, we will be in 23 years looking back and calling it The Last Dance and saying, what the hell were you doing, you idiots? Now, I believe they're doing the right thing too. So if in 23 years, you know, they're still in the cellar, then I'm going to look back and say I was wrong to feel the way I feel today. I could be wrong. Bill could be wrong. They could be wrong. I think they're doing the right thing, but if they don't win, then we are going to look back and say, you blew it up over what? Over what? Because you wouldn't let Gronkowski work out with rubber bands versus weights? Or you wouldn't let Brady's trainer on the sideline? Or you wouldn't give him a real contract? Or what? Why did it blow up? Because Bill wanted to prove it was him and not Brady, and Brady wanted to prove it was him and not Bill? That's why you left championships on the table? Well, we're definitely going to look back at it and say, what were you idiots doing? And that's just me being fair. Again, I think they're doing the right thing. I'm glad they're doing this. They need to do this, in my opinion, because I think Bill will turn it around, and Bill will get them pointed at least in the right direction, so they'll be a contender between Bill orchestrating the rebuild and what is still good ownership. It's still, you know, I think they'll be okay, and I think they'll transition to the next thing. But if they don't, and the reason The Last Dance is The Last Dance is in Chicago is because they've done nothing for 23 years. Nothing. Nothing. They blew up the entire team. The next year, their big three was Tony Kukoc, Brett Barry, and Ron Harper. And they won 13 games in a strike year. They sucked, and they've sucked ever since. They've won five playoff series in 23 years, the Bulls. Five series in 23 years. So that's why it looks so stark, because they had nothing that came after. And 23 years later, they're still trying to figure it out. So then you look back and say, well, what the hell were you doing? We don't have The Last Dance for the Niners. We don't have the last dance for the Niners in the early 90s when they got rid of Joe Montana. Why? Because they transitioned to Steve Young. The next 3 years after Joe Montana left, they went to a conference title, won the Super Bowl, and had another 10 years with Steve Young. So we don't do the last dance thing with the Niners. We say they transitioned to the next thing, and it wasn't the last dance. It was just a continuation of their dynasty.
No, the music kept on playing.
So it all depends on what comes next. If Bill can turn it around, whether it's Stidham or someone shortly after, and you know what, but I hope, you know, it's pretty much got to be Stidham. But if Bill can keep the train rolling and transition into the next thing where they are a true contender, we won't do the last dance. We'll say they figured out the transition pretty good. But if they botch it, then we go back with a 10-part special saying, "You idiots, how'd you let this all fall apart?"
Yep, and we go back and look and say, especially when you had the next quarterback lined up there, and Gronkowski traded for a first-round pick. that's the other thing you'll look at and say, well, wait a minute, they had it lined up for the transition. The coach had it lined up. They squeezed a little more out of it, and they let Garoppolo go, and then Gronk retired on him, and they basically got nothing for either guy. And then, you know, they were left without a quarterback. They were lined up for it. To me, that was the critical point. If this thing goes down the toilet now, that's where I'll look.
So this whole thing, you know, Murray, you say they could have dragged everybody back, but Brady's heart wasn't in it. They hated the coach. Gronkowski hated the coach, and it's like, I mean, that's true. So part of my analysis here is that the Pats would have had to commit to those guys and commit to changing the things that those guys were upset by. In other words, they would have had to, this year or last year, give Brady a real contract. Last year, a year before, they would have had to give Rob Gronkowski a real contract. Robert would have had to have gone to Belichick and said, Bill, lay off these guys, okay? They are special players who get special rules. So you're going to let Gronkowski work out with rubber bands versus weights, and you're going to let Alex have an office next to the whatever, and you're going to let these guys go to TB12 up the hill there at Patriot Place. Bill, stand down, okay? So that would have to – you would need a stand – stop being such a dick to Brady and Gronkowski. I'm going to pay them, and we're going to, you know, get every last year we can out of these guys. They could have done that.
They could have, but I just don't think that was going to be possible. And even if the financial appeasement, which I think would have come well, the financial appeasement would have come for both of those players before Bill would stop being a dick to them, or at least the way that they perceived.
Because you think that was that was not going to happen?
No, not at all. Nope. No. So, I think that played out, especially these last couple of seasons, but definitely last year. And that's where I, too, because I was like, nah, F the future. Keep building it around Brady. All the titles. Get past Jordan. 7, 8, more. After last year, I'm good. Go their separate ways.
Well,
I'm glad they did.
I like to think that if Bill believed he was really porked after Brady, that he would have done what it takes to keep Brady. In other words, I think Bill thinks he can win with other players.
For sure.
Oh, he definitely does.
So Bill thinks he can win with the next quarterback and pay him a hell of a lot less, and he can win with a refigured roster. So Bill's, I would like to think, was just doing something that was practical. Can't hang on to old, expensive players, especially when I can win with younger, cheaper ones. So that's the calculus. If Bill felt he couldn't win with younger, cheaper players, then I would like to think he would have changed his ways for Brady. I would have liked to think, because again, and this is where I think the last dance comparison does fall apart. In basketball, you can't win without the best players. You can't do it. You cannot do it. That sport is proven over the decades. You can't win with a well-coached team of good, not great players. That doesn't exist. It may have existed once in its history, that Pistons team.
Right. No,
the last one, exactly. The last Pistons team, maybe. You can make the case for that one. But then they have the best defensive player in the league and blah, blah, blah. But I think in football, you don't necessarily need the best player or even the best players. It's a different, you know, it's a different dynamic. In other words, if Bill were coach of the Bulls, I'd like to think Bill would not say, yeah, I can win with the next guy. Because in basketball, you can't win with the next guy. In football, I think you kind of can.
Oh, I think at this point, he definitely looks at that offense and the way it's run, especially these last couple of seasons, and it's like, I can put anybody in there and get the same kind of production. That's how he feels. I might disagree to an extent, but go ahead, Miss.
No, I was going to say, I want to see how this shakes out. Because, Mike, as much as that is true, and look, football is different. There are no two ways about it. How many times have we talked about the quarterbacks who have won titles in the last 20 years? I mean, it's been Brady. It's been Roethlisberger when he was good. It's been Manning. Eli, maybe not elite, but was a big game quarterback. Aaron Rodgers. Patrick Mahomes now. There aren't a lot of scrubs in there that win titles. So, look, I hope Belichick's right. I'd love to see it work out that way. But something tells me that you're going to need to rely on your quarterback to make plays if you want to contend for championships consistently.
Okay, so again, is it the last dance? And is this, you know, are the Patriots making the same mistakes as the Bulls? And the jumping off point, again, was, you know, a revigorated, reinvested Tom Brady down in Tampa with, a, you know, the organized Brady activities down there, the OBAs, as I call them, down in Tampa. Couldn't be bothered to show up here in the offseason the last couple. But Tampa, Johnny on the spot, lickety-split, day one, even pre-day one, you know, getting out there. So that was sort of the jumping off point to it. But are the Patriots making the same mistake? Because Brady still has something left in the tank, just as Jordan did in 98. And they may not have been at their very peak, for sure not, but they were still championship caliber. And the Patriots sort of knowingly, willfully walked away from it with Tom Brady. Are we going to look back and say, we, you know, the Patriots made the same mistakes that the Bulls did? To me, it's all about what comes next. If Jerry Krause had the next superstar in waiting, if he had, you know, if he had the Len Bias figure, I don't know, just that's the only example that pops to my head, but if he had that guy, if Jerry Krause and the Bulls had that guy and they kept on winning, then it's not the last dance. It's just the program kept winning, and you don't even need that special. If Bill can keep winning, there'll be no need for it. But if he doesn't, oh, we're going to look back and say, what the hell were you doing? So that's that. Thoughts on that? All of our NHL and return to sports stuff, it's all on the board, I promise. Your calls right after these words.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, after the sixth championship, things were beyond our control.
Because it would have been suicidal at that point in their careers to bring back Pippen, Steve Kerr, Rodman, Ron Harper. Their market value individually was going to be too high. They weren't going to be worth the money they were going to get in the market.
So when we realized that we were going to have to go into a rebuild, I went to Phil and said, offered him the opportunity to come back the next year. But he said, I don't want to go through a rebuild. I don't want to coach a bad team. You know, that was the end. It just came to an end on its own. You know, had Michael been healthy and wanted to come back, I don't doubt that Krause could have rebuilt another championship team in a couple of years. But, you know, it wasn't going to happen instantly.
In 98, Krause already said at the beginning of the season, Phil can go 82-0, and he was never going to be the coach. So when Phil said it was the last dance, it was the last dance. We knew they weren't going to keep the team. Now, they could have nixed all of it at the beginning of 98. Why say that statement at the beginning of 98? If you ask all the guys who won in 98, Steve Kerr, Jeff Busler, blah, 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 we give you 1 year contract to try for 7. You think they would have signed? Yes, they would have signed. Would I sign for 1 year? Yes, I would have signed for 1 year. I've been signing 1 year contracts up to that. Would Phil done it? Yes. Now, Pip, you would have to do some convincing, but if Phil was going to be there, if Dennis was going to be there, if MJ was going to be there to win our 7th, Pip is not going to miss out on that.
It's not an exact comp, but you could play the same game with the Patriots. If they had given Brady a real contract 2 years ago, said they'd go easy on him in terms of his trainer, they had given Gronkowski a real contract a couple years ago, said he could work out with rubber bands as much as he wanted, and, you know, take his shirt off and do whatever, naked nipple tequila shots in the off season, like just giving in to those guys, they would have stayed, and maybe they would have been more invested, and you'd still be on the run. Is that the thing they should have done? And are you going to look back and say they missed the opportunity? To me, it's all about what Bill does here going forward. If Bill transitions it, you'll say he got it right, and you're not going to miss that transition. In fact, the transition helped you go into the next thing. But if he blows it, you're going to say, oh, what were you doing? You left some on the cutting room floor. All right, so back to your phones on that and everything else. Steve in Boston, been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to talk about the leagues need to understand that out of sight, out of mind, especially with the millennials and the Gen Xers or whatever they are. And, Tony, it's typical of the MLB to be so out of touch, and the league is on life support.
Okay, so let me just stop you, Steve, before you do any more damage. It feels like the NBA and the NHL are ahead of Major League Baseball, and it really should be just the opposite, don't you think?
Listen, baseball should have the easiest road back. Again, now they hadn't started their season yet, right? So
they have the most to lose by not playing, so they should have there should be more urgency on their behalf.
Yeah, and to me, more important than any of it is the nature of the sport.
Yep,
I just think it's the safest game to play. The players is a non-contact sport. And you know, to the point where they were putting in rules for how close a guy at first base could get to a runner he was holding on base. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, you know, the idea that other sports would be as safe as baseball to me is preposterous.
Maz, the more I think of it, I'm sorry to cut you off.
It should be a layup.
MLB should by far be the closest. First of all, they have templates out in Asia where there's baseball leagues back playing that they can directly draw from, what's working, what's not working. Their sport is outdoors with the most social distancing. You have states in Arizona and Florida who have governors who are literally saying, come down here, we're ready, play ball, let's go, like begging for them to come and show up and play down in those two places. I mean, I mean, they should by far be ahead of everybody else. And I feel, again, they can't even agree to what the wording says in their last agreement. Never mind start working towards proposals or, you know, the meat of the matter, which I feel the NHL and the NBA are actually doing.
And Maz,
it should be a layup. And Stephen Boston's right. Baseball needs to be careful. I don't know. Deep down, I wonder, maybe the owners want this, although I doubt it. The idea of like a work stoppage and really forcing the players to get a dose of reality. But I doubt that that's what the owners feel.
And Maz, you said it earlier, too. It's getting worse. Like, I didn't think it could get worse post Blake Snell, but it is. And based on what the caller said, I think a lot of people are starting to feel this because, like, that they're frustrated and they're like, you know what, just go away. Because not one conversation about that sport coming back is centered around the players doing something for the greater good rather than their own selfish needs. And again, Blake Snell summed it up best last week. I got to get mine. That really says it all.
If you want to blow your brains out, go read Joel Sherman in the New York Post with this email exchange between MLB officials and PA officials. It'll make you want to jump off a tall building. Here's John in the car.
Yeah, just quickly, Mike. Again, in the midst of a pandemic, baseball has decided to have a labor war.
John in the car. Go ahead, John.
Okay. Hey, guys. Just about the asterisks for the championships. I don't think you should put an asterisk on anybody's championship because regardless of what sport, if you're going to play in the playoffs, you got to show up. But that being said, Shaquille O'Neal, and I disagree with him, said Tim Duncan's first ring doesn't count because it was after the lockout season.
Oh, nonsense.
Hang up now.
Nonsense. And then what? Tim Duncan goes on and wins five more? And you say that any of his championships are illegitimate? I think he sort of validated what he was as a player, and that Spurs team validated what they were as a team going forward. How many did they win? Six or five or what?
Five, I think.
So that's no fluke team. That's stupid. Josh in Haverhill. Hi, Josh.
Hey, fellas. First off, thanks for keeping us entertained during all these crazy times. You guys have been wicked funny this week. On to the MLB. You know, these guys are more worried about money than their own health. I agree with Maz. And, you know, they got to get back. They have social distancing built into the game, like you guys said. And, you know, it's sad that I have to get my fix by going to the KBO.
I tell you, I was watching some of it this morning.
Kind of fun.
It's not bad. It's baseball. Bad. It's baseball. They throw the ball. It moves a little bit quicker.
Moves. You get bat flips. There's flair. I'm into it.
But, I mean, just, again, think about it, Matt. Baseball should be so far ahead of these other sports. It's outside. The states want them to play. They're, again, governors saying play ball. They have the most to lose, most to gain. They haven't generated any revenue this year. Basketball and hockey are 80, 90% done. They've made most of their money, not all of it, but at least they've, you know, generated revenue. And never mind, you've got I just think these states, even New York, California, are saying, yeah, we're open for business for these pro sports teams. The baseball's got to be the easiest. It's open-air stadiums.
Mike, under the circumstances, baseball has the most going in its favor. And it's not even close. Again, there's no contact. They're outdoors. The players, not only is there no contact, they're nowhere near each other on the field. They have breaks in between every half inning where they can sanitize, for crying out loud. Like, really, the whole thing is no sport has more in its favor than baseball, with the possible exception of golf. Okay, because again, golf is even, you know, and that is coming back in a matter of, you know, weeks or even days at this stage. They have everything in their favor, and they still can't get it right.
Richie and Quincy on the Canadians. Yes, Rich.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good.
Mike, 100% agree with you. Boston, Montreal, I see us getting swept. Perfect example.
We're ports.
The 83-84 season, Bruins win the Adams division by 29 points. Now, Mike, remember, not Patrick Roy. Steve Penny comes and sweeps you, and you get outscored 10-2 in those
three Reggie,
games.
What happened in 78?
We lost the cup in six.
To Montreal. Was 84 the Pete Peters year? You have not had a good. What was the Pete Peters year? Did the Canadians beat? Remember when Pete Peters got on that role in the '80s?
Sure,
you couldn't have had a hotter goalie until he faced Montreal. And I can't remember if he faced Montreal or not. I'm just saying things tend to happen with that team, Maz. I can't believe.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah,
that.
The too many men on the ice. I was 11 years old when that happened. You want me to tell you that whole story?
It was 79. Here's okay. Colin in Boston. Go ahead, Colin.
78, 79.
Hey, really quick on Matt Duchene. This guy's such a bum. He shot his way out of a good Avalanche team a few years ago. Sakic had to trade him to the only team that would take him, the Ottawa Senators. On the playoffs this year, Mike, you're right with the Canadians. We even saw a mediocre team sweep the best team, probably one of the best teams of all time last year, with the Blue Jackets sweeping the Lightning last year. So I'll hang up later.
Okay, well, so that's an 8-1. That happens. I think it would be tough for people to accept if it's a 12-1, and the 12 has no business being in the playoffs.
Eights win. Didn't the Kings? Weren't the Kings?
Yes,
in
yes, yes. Were an eight. Yeah,
eights win. So can a 12 win?
No, that'd be putrid.
Only if it's Montreal, Boston. but this Matt Duchene. Well, I'll play a cut coming back. This guy. Whew. So I guess you're saying he's a little bit of a nozzle to begin with. He takes himself a little too seriously. We'll have that coming back with more of your calls. Couple of lines if you want to take them at 617-779-0985.
You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
But I just think that you got to keep this thing as much integrity as possible. You don't want to have a COVID cup, and I'm worried that if we come back and force this thing and try and make it, and it's a gimmicky, or if it's not quite right, whoever wins the cup is going to have people trying to take it away from them their whole lives, and they don't deserve that, the guys that come back and ultimately win it. So I feel very passionately about this part of things. Just growing up and watching, like we're talking about the Avalanche, what they went through to win the Stanley Cup twice, I think it's sacrilegious if we don't kind of appreciate what they did and make it as big of a challenge and as much integrity as possible for going forward. So whatever the answer to that is, I'm not sure, or if there even is an answer, but I feel very strongly about that. And I'm sure, our game is one of the games that has the most integrity in the world, and I know guys are going to want this to mean something if we do come back.
Again, lighten up, Francis. Jesus,
be more overdramatic. My God.
I mean, but it's also a guy that clearly doesn't know his hockey history. It's sacrilegious to let too many teams into the playoffs.
People will be trying to take their names off that cup their whole lives, the rest of their careers.
He obviously has no clue about what the league has been its entire existence. When I was a kid in the 80s, the NHL had 21 teams, and they allowed 16 of them into the playoffs. That's when the round of 16 started, when it was a 21-team league.
That was why I remember. That was one of the biggest jokes ever, that regular season in the NHL back then.
Like, that was the sort of Islanders-Oilers era. They're in the mid-80s, early mid-80s. 21 teams, 16 made the playoffs. Never mind the decades and decades and decades where they only had six teams, but four made the postseason. Never mind the late 60s when they expanded from 6 to 12 and put every expansion team in one conference, thereby gifting an expansion team a berth in the Stanley Cup Finals for three straight years, which is why the Blues in 68, 69, and 70 made the Stanley Cup Finals only to be swept all 3 years by the Canadians twice and then the Bruins. Okay, so like hockey is always, I went on this rant before, I won't do it again, but hockey has always let too many teams in the playoffs. They've always had goofy, gimmicky standings, playoffs. Right now, the league, you know, I like the shootout, but a lot of people would look at the 2 points with one extra, the loser point, and the shootout, and the 3-on-3. That's not gimmicky. I think it's a good gimmick. I like it. But the NHL has always had goofy, gimmicky stuff with their standings in the playoffs, and they've always let too many teams into the postseason. Always. My entire life. And Matt Duchesne's going to go on about it being sacrilegious, letting too many teams into the playoffs. This guy needs to take a freaking chill pill, man.
Yeah, I think the guy doesn't want to play. That's what I think. And again, I'm not, you know, if he has legitimate concerns for his health or fears for his safety, and I say legitimate, you know, if that's how he feels, then I'm not going to sit here and disagree with him. I don't know that I would play if I were an athlete, depending on how much I had already made or what have you, or where I was in my career. I think that's a hard question to answer. But when I add that on top of the other comment that he made, which is the idea that the players would only come back, you know, assuming that there wasn't any risk.
Well,
and
so
that's
hold on.
What he said.
So hold on. We made the we went to the trouble of pulling it out.
Fine.
Here's Matt Duchesne on, again, he's asked about the format, but he goes right into the risk element to it. Go ahead. Number one, Jimmy, please.
Let's say the NHL can resume this season. You know, play commissioner, what sort of format would you be comfortable with upon a return?
Well, first of all, it needs to be safe. It needs to be for the players, for the coaches, training staff, everything. It needs to be safe. We can't have any risk of anybody getting this thing. And I think that's going to be our ultimate biggest hurdle. I think that's going to be the biggest hurdle for every sport coming back.
Okay, we can't have any risk of anybody getting this thing. Any risk.
It's a risk for everyone as soon as you leave your house. And I could do without the, I'm sorry, but I could do without the, I didn't notice it earlier, the overdramatic Skip Bayless breath at the beginning of it too, where he has to ponder what he's about to say. I think it really has to be safe for all of us. We shouldn't leave our homes.
God, dude, lighten up. Jesus. This guy.
But if you're looking for, there can't be any risk. Forget it. Forget it. Don't play. It's over. Like, of course there's going to be risk. I see, to me, this part is obvious, and maybe it isn't. Like, you know, well, there can't be any risk. Well, if that's what you want, no risk, well, then you can't play. There's no hockey. There's no season. No risk means no play. That's what it means. And to me, I don't think that has dawned on this guy. I don't think he wants to play.
This guy's a handful. Holy smokes. At least he mentioned the coaches and the training staff and not just the players. At least it's not Blake Snell saying, I'm risking my life by going
out
here. My life, yeah. I need my money. You know, because I do think that the coaches, the trainers, the clubhouse guys are at more risk than the players. Certainly in baseball. Baseball, there's, you know, some social distancing and whatnot. Those clubhouse guys are in enclosed rooms and
touching everybody's gear.
Yes,
totally.
Thank you. Like, I think the support staff is at greater risk than the players. And at least Duchesne here sort of gave a nod to it. But holy cow, this guy. Either lighten up or just shut it down or some. I mean,
Matt. Well, right. And again, and if his decision is I don't want to play, like, I'm not mocking him for that.
No, fine.
Because a lot of people are. They're scared by this thing. I get it. But I think deep down, I think that he has major reservations about playing. He doesn't want to play.
And don't give me the sacrilege. It's sacrilege to let too many teams in the playoffs, said the NHL, who's always let everybody into the playoffs.
Matt, have you and your wife ordered takeout during the quarantine? It's been very difficult to even consider that.
But the Patriots did have Garoppolo, so they blew that one. Okay, we've got Ed and Whitman. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I got two quick points. First, on the NHL, if they want to come back with the playoffs, just cut it off how it is now. Whoever was in the playoffs is in the playoffs. If you don't like it, if you're on the bubble, too bad. Should have played better on the regular season. Second, Matt Duchesne and his comments about the sanctity of the game or the integrity of the game, which is ridiculous. Well, as you guys have said many times before, you know, these guys go through grueling playoffs to win the cup where they are breaking ribs and punctured lungs. And I love Matt Duchesne after a playoff run where he maybe won a cup and someone say, oh, it's the COVID cup. It doesn't really count.
Exactly.
Punctured to lungs.
That's right. I mean, still, if they go four rounds at seven games, and some teams with this little play-in are going to have to play more, five rounds, They're still going to beat the crap out of each other. Never mind the chance of getting COVID, but just the physical toll that takes. You're going to put an asterisk on that? I'd like to say that to one of those guys' faces, you know, when they got teeth falling, you know, broken jaws and broken teeth and limbs dangling from their shoulders. So I say that to those guys.
Yeah, don't forget the punctured lungs. There's still no challenge like it. I mean, to play those 20, 25 games or whatever it is, I mean, that's the equivalent of a full season.
Ricky and Worcester on the Patriots-Bulls comparison. Hi, Ricky.
Hey, Felger, Maz, Murray. What's up, man?
What's up, Ricky?
Hey, listen, I called originally to talk about this comparison about the, you know, the Bulls with the...
Yeah,
with
just
the,
go. Yeah, just give me your take.
All right, listen, I think it's a little too early to talk about it, but I think you guys are setting the groundwork because you know there will be a last dance.
Yeah. Oh, so I mean, so this is called take. We are laying foundation.
Yeah.
So, take. Yeah. Take tracks.
we're doing
putting the cement down. That's
yeah,
all.
This is a take foundation. This is the foundation for a take many years into the future.
Yeah. Make sure the Reba's in there too.
To say that just like the Bulls in the late '80s, in the late '90s, sorry, the Patriots had a chance to keep the band together, go for another championship, go on another couple runs, and they willfully, knowingly, intentionally broke up the band. Was it the right thing to do? And if it's the wrong thing to do, we've laid the take foundation. That's exactly what we've done. But Bill's going to have to get a couple of years, you know, to see where that goes. Tom and Quincy on the Joel Sherman story that I told you about. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, my disappointment is like wearing so much on me right now because, this whole thing started last week with the Boris comments when I called and I said that I had a bad feeling about this whole thing. Then you had the Snelza, whatever Snelza you had to say. Then you had to listen to Toolbag Hopper with his comments. And now this whole deciphering of that document that you did today, Mike, I swear.
Did you read that?
I didn't read it. I just listened to you decipher. Because you got, like, some kind of legal lawyer in background or something. It's crazy. That's the only way I get my law. I listen to you. So, but the funny thing is, my thing is, after hearing what how you deciphered that whole thing, I have no faith now more than ever that they're not playing at all this year. And the one thing, too, is I'll say, this came from Joel Sherman. This ain't some, you know, tool bag doing a blog in his basement. Joel Sherman's legit. So I am really my patience are wearing thin on MLB, and my optimism is running very, very low, and I really am starting to see no season happening at all whatsoever. Well,
so here's the thing. If I had to predict, they'll figure it out and they'll get on the field. But in the process, they'll make us hate them even more. Like,
right.
That'll be the end game, where these other leagues had just sort of a normal back and forth about the machinations of the thing, but they get on the field and I don't end up hating the basketball players or hockey players, even Matt Duchene, more than I did. The baseball back and forth that I'm reading is going to make me hate them more than I even do right now. And that's what that's going to do.
And I didn't think that was possible.
Right.
Well, I was just going to say, in a lot of ways, we went into this whole thing saying there was a huge opportunity for baseball. If they could be the first back, I mean, you know, amid everything that was going on, and they had the opportunity to get back on the field, they could reclaim some part of it. Now I'm starting to think it's a worst case. They've already blown it. They've already blown it. There are a lot of people who feel alienated by it because they're arguing. They're having a labor war in the middle of a pandemic. They've blown it.
First people back on the field are heroes. They're going to be, like, exalted, don't you think? We're going to be so thrilled to see them out there, and they're going to be put on such a pedestal. Like, what an opportunity to be the first game back. And baseball should be it. I mean, it should be easily.
I think they've blown it already.
Should be the first game back, and maybe they've blown it already. Maybe they've blown it already. Final word, Kevin in the car. Bruins, Canadiens. If the Canadiens sneak in, win a play-in round, and get the Bruins in that a traditional first round, Bruins, Canadiens, who do you like?
I like the Bruins, of course, but I wanted to throw a comment for you to look up. But back in the 50s and 60s, the Canadians or the Canadian teams got the first six best players
before
anybody else could get them. So they should have asterisks on all of them.
Exactly. Hockey's always been goofy, asterisky, gimmicky. Always, 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 always. Again, the six-team league, four made the playoffs, and one team got the best players from their region when it was the only region really playing hockey. So, like, go figure that. And I exaggerated that a little bit, but Montreal got first dibs on all their homegrown talent.
He's another traumatized Bruins fan. You know, I thought we were only going to get story time with Red Sox fans, and from the, you know, they were the only ones who popped their teeth into a glass at the end of the night.
Maz, he had the Bruins beating the Canadiens, so he's not.
He didn't feel great about it, though.
No, yeah, I could tell he was wavering. We'll win him over by the time it's done.
How about that last that caller in the last segment when he started talking about 1980, whatever, and I jokingly asked him about 78, and he started going and telling me the story. Like, dude, I was kidding.
The Canadians in the playoffs are no joke, Maz. You'll learn one day. Final word. We have fresh Fuppets. Again, it's spectacular job done by Hardy. It dropped early this week, so we're playing it early. Again, I'll just tease it by saying, do not interrupt when Murray's trying to sleep at 11 a.m. He doesn't want to hear kids. He doesn't want to hear birds. He wants to hear nothing. He wants to sleep till noon, and that is the subject of this week's Fuppets coming away next.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats
Nobody.
Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Couple of things to get to today, starting with a new edition of the Fuppets, put together by our own Rob Hardy Poole. This might be my favorite of all of them,
so
of all
good.
The ones he's ever done.
So good. Hit it! Murray, am I hearing your cats again?
No, those are the children outside.
So I was going to say, there's either kids or cats squawking in the background.
Oh, yeah, what's the difference?
Are the kids afraid of you, Murray?
I've had to scream at those children.
How old are the kids, Murray?
They're between, like, 6 and 10.
Oh, Jesus, Murray! You're MFing the 6-year-olds?
Yeah. It's bad enough I have to hear the birds chirping to wake me up, try to wake me up at 6 when I'm trying to sleep till noon. It's enough to make me want to just, you know, off myself.
See, most people, like, birds singing and children playing are happy. Like, that's a good thing to wake up to. Not
yeah,
so much.
Yeah, I can do without the birds.
Murray.
Especially, have you ever had a woodpecker on your house?
Yeah.
Holy crap, that's like the worst thing ever.
So, Maz, how do you get rid of
it? Woodpecker hammering on the side of the house when I'm trying to get a couple of Z's.
How do you get the woodpecker out?
You got to hang, hold on, my wife's got the answer, hold on. Shiny stuff from the windows. Something that would look like tinsel, but you hang it on the windows. And it does. It scares away the woodpeckers because something about the reflection freaks them out.
And then asking how he put this thing together and how he got like the neighborhood children together, he just looked at me like he ran a marathon. Like, so must have been a lot of work.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I bet.
Well, give it a watch. If you didn't see that there on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, we blasted out on the socials. So catch it on your phone. It's good stuff. Thanks to Hardy for doing that.
So I can't emphasize enough. People got to go see it if they haven't seen it. Visually, it is like maybe the best one he's ever done. It's awesome.
So with the talk of the Patriots, of course, comes Maz's go-to take. And really with the talk of anything, whether it's sports or not, comes
anything.
Maz's go-to take. It's evidence here.
Cameron in Miami, your thoughts.
Nice. So I think this really comes down to asset management. And I look at how Bill handled Garoppolo. Garoppolo could have turned into Darnold, Jackson, Mayfield, Deshaun Watson, or Pat.
Again, another guy who doesn't hold it like a pizza, and you're just feeding Maz's thing.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, there's two. He's 0 for 2.
Doesn't take
okay,
much. But, you can ask about the antibody study right now. Maz,
okay.
Well, I hate to go back to it,
they had
guys.
The next guy, Garoppolo.
They had Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Well, look, again, I'm sorry that this is but it is a factor in the conversation. The question is, at the end, will we look back and say the Patriots mismanaged it? And they didn't play part of a good point, too. So they backed themselves into this corner now where they literally have to, I don't want to say start from scratch, but something close to it because they mismanaged their assets in the last couple of years.
Say Murray. Okay, so Murray, you play Maz. How do you deal with this new antibody studies that they're coming up with, you know, which apparently if you have the antibodies, it means you can't get the disease again or transmit it. It seems like a pretty important development there. I think it was in South Korea. How do you feel about that?
Mike, I'm sorry to go back to this every single time. But the fact is they had the guy. They had the guy. They had the guy in Garoppolo. And they were forced to get rid of him to stick with Brady.
I was asking about the antibody studies in South Korea.
I get it, Mike. But the fact was, and I'm sorry, I have to go back to it every single time. They had the guy. They had the guy.
All roads lead back to Garoppolo. We're discussing.
I don't want to listen to you, stupid people.
All roads lead back to Garoppolo.
Every single time.
It's true. This NHL playoff format, well, if they had just kept Garoppolo.
Mike, they had him. They had him. I hate to go back to it.
Some of us can recognize the most important moments in life as they are happening.
The NBA going to Disney World.
Mike, I know I always go back to it, but they had him. They had the next guy. Bill picked him. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks of him. Bill had the next guy in Jimmy G.
Okay, here comes Adam Jones. We'll find his particular brand of obnoxiousness in 90 seconds. No commercials, just an update here from Murray. Maz, Murray, Stu, Lanny, all you. Mason, thanks for filling in today, buddy. We appreciate it. Felger and Maz back at it tomorrow at 2 p.m.
See ya.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.